and record.
Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Jack. Hello, Jersey.
Hey.
So, what in the world were we going to talk about on this? I actually wrote down a few things that I dropped.
Oh. Good, because I feel like we've been talking about me a lot on the Extra Leans, and I'd like to back off of that, please.
You know, it's funny. I do love to. I'm not an invasive interviewer, and but it's kind of it's really fun to sort of be, to play an interviewer and whatnot. I was having a conversation the other day with a few folks at my day job, and we. We're discussing when interviews, and this totally wasn't the thing I wrote down to talk about, but when interviews can, you know, they can go well or maybe go awry and whatnot. And I was reflecting on an interesting interview I have, which I'm not going to share any details regarding. But it was at a place where the people had a few months prior they went through something in software that they call a death march, right? And it really had a lot of negative effects on the team, including some of the people that were close friends left the company because of that event, and a lot of being broken heart. It was, people were frustrated and stuff. So I actually it quickly, because of my natural inclinations and whatnot, I started interviewing everybody over this and exploring it, but partially because I'm like, well, how likely is this to happen again? That's my self-motivated aspect there. And mm-hmm. I was also thinking, like, you know, you guys are distracted and we just got to get this out and hopefully recover the situation by just running headlong at that topic, which didn't work out that well. because it turned out there was a lot of pent-up feelings.
Wow.
However, they did. The interview went well. I mean, ironically that they did extend an offer in the end. But anyway,
wow,
I didn't go with that job.
what I was about to say before you went into that story was. The great thing about being an interviewer is it tends to be a safe place to be because you don't have to reveal anything about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And because most people, I'll put myself in this camp at least, have some narcissistic tendencies and like to talk about themselves. Even if they seem like a little bit hesitant to do so, we like to talk about ourselves. So it's a great way to make somebody else feel comfortable in a situation. But what you described was definitely not a safe place to be.
Yeah, it was instead of because it was essentially there was a train coming and it was obvious and it's funny that metaphor. It's tough to really extend it, but it worked out in the end. But it was quite the mess.
So, what topics did you have written down? What did you have written down?
It's totally silly, but I was thinking about how slowly but surely, not via an overwrought structure of goals and whatnot, but I've been gravitating toward really trying to be more aware of the effects of a desk job and how can I just make little tweaks to my day and become more aware of just not falling into. Habits that I notice that I can fall into. Like I'm the kind of person who, you know, I'm trying to not be gross about this, but like I will forget to eat and use the restroom, right? Not to cause messes or to, you know, curl up in starvation. I'll eventually notice this, but like,
but you'll notice it too late where it's like all of a sudden your blood sugar hits the floor and it's like, oh no. Yeah,
exactly. Like I'll notice that, And then, you know, now I'll have to hurry up and do a bunch of things like before I run out the door or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And it's just that's kind of annoying and it's totally controllable. And there's this other effect, like beyond the obvious time management annoyance it's the it has it likely has an adverse effects on my health to be sitting for so long and not noticing that I'm not just moving enough. So I mentioned on, you know, a few extra leans ago, I mentioned I did pick up the Jawbone Up Band, and that's been really helpful. Where it essentially, I have a, it's adjustable as far as the settings. You know, so what is this thing? It's a band you put on your wrist that doesn't really have much of a display or anything, but it will vibrate and do stuff. Like as far as like maybe it'll vibrate for different reasons that you can control when you plug it into your iPhone or Android device. And so you can set it to have a timer. If you've been sitting still, it notices that. And for me, I set it to 45 minutes. And
every 45 minutes, it goes off. Or if you haven't moved in 45 minutes, it'll say like, hey. Mm-hmm. It'll buzz and say like, it'll get buzz. Up, move around a little bit. Maybe it's time to check your biological functions to see if it's time for a cupcake or a stop in the restroom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I have found it pretty helpful. And so it's pretty mild. It's not like a really jarring or annoying bit of feedback. And I've been using it long for a few months now. So I notice when it's not happening in addition to when it's happening. And so I get kind of excited if I've made it through a work day and I've not, this thing hasn't buzzed.
That's cool.
Yeah. One thing I've been experimenting with at my day job also with that is a standing workstation.
That's been interesting. Okay. This is something that's been kind of like in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Became kind of a hot topic. And, you know, there's the people who are like way into it and there's the people who like dabble with it. And then there's people who hate it. Where in the spectrum does Rob Stenzinger fall?
Well, I think it's pretty awesome.
Really?
Yeah. And it's, let's see. So as far as the standing, I'm actually dying to try the treadmill desk thing.
I was going to ask if you're going to do that, where you like, you're actually walking while you're working.
Yeah. I've heard that on some floor somewhere where I work, there's a sort of a hoteling workstation that has a treadmill at it that I could try. But well, I don't know. I haven't researched enough to find out where the heck to go to do that.
Okay.
But I do have a standing workstation as my normal desk. It's actually adjustable. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's, because what's nuts is like people need to know about this and this company needs to get supported because it's only $300. That's what's crazy. Uh-huh. It's, oh man, what's it called?
And it's like a quality desk.
It's pretty nice. Huh. They have three different sizes. The 300 is like the widest one and it will, it can hold essentially, two monitors or a laptop and an external monitor kind of thing. Okay. And that's the arrangement I use it in is a laptop and external monitor. Oh, was it the Verit desk? Oh my gosh, this is killing me here. Is it the Verit desk? Gosh, I hope so. I'm doing some Googling and yeah, cool. Anyway, it's veridesk.com and it lets you you can grab handles on the side.
Wait a minute. Spell that for me, Rob, because I just got taken to a landing page or like a stupid spam page.
Oh, you. V-A-R-I-D-E-S-K.
Okay.
And so anyway, it's this big hunk of something you set on your desk, and it sort of looks like a double-decker, like you'd have a keyboard underneath a monitor kind of thing. But if you grab the sides and lift up, all of a sudden it has this, you know, and has this built-in spring action stuff. So it actually is helping you lift the thing you're lifting. But yet it's not a catapult, so it won't chuck a monitor into your lap, so it's well engineered.
So it's something that just goes on top of your existing desk. That's kind of neat. I mean, because I'm looking at when you said standing desk, I was imagining like a big, you know, like my art table.
Yeah, and there's those, and there's some really sweet fancy options mm-hmm. of those out there that are either full time or adjustable.
But what benefit do you derive from this directly? That's what I'm curious about. Like, what have you noticed that's different about your life since using a standing desk besides lower leg pain?
Besides lower leg pain? actually, it tires my feet out. Okay. I noticed my shoes suck.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of working in fast food once upon a time.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I've worked my share of jobs where I had to stand mm-hmm. a lot. And I remember my feet, that's where it sucked the most, you know? So are you going to get some orthopedic shoes? Get some Buster Browns?
Yes.
Hush Puppies? Nurse shoes?
I got the Buster Browns, and I've got headgear just because they go well together. No.
Anyway, but
anyway, yeah, it's whatever. Yeah, it, not to have a giant commercial for Varidesk, but what impresses me is that it's inexpensive and it's versatile. You can still sit and whatnot. So I started out where sometimes I would stand, sometimes I would sit. But lately I've been just standing all day. And it's been kind of neat. So what do I notice? I notice that I move around more, and I will not get the buzz alert from my up band on my wrist, and it's definitely because I've been standing and
shifting anyway, your weight a lot more. Like, I bet
you what's know, that?
You're shifting your weight a lot more. I bet
I totally am. Yeah, I do. Yeah, anyway, I do kind of I've been adopting a series of weird stances, you know, where I haven't quite added like the crane technique or something.
Okay, but
like,
that's what you said.
But there is like this almost horse stance that I'll stand in sometimes.
Horse and, stance?
Yeah, horse stance. You ever never heard of that?
No. What is that?
So horse stance is where you have your feet slightly wider than shoulder width apart, and you bend at the knees.
Okay.
And it's for you have a lot of stability coming from the ground.
Lower your center of gravity. And then plus you've got the loose knees on the deck of the ship kind of idea. Yeah, I buy that.
So you can sweep the leg if you got to sweep a leg. No. No. Anyway.
Talking to you for so many years has made me utterly dependent on Karate Kid references, and it's failing me in regular conversation with other people.
Aww.
Where I'll say, like, you know, it's like what Mr. Miyagi said about such and such, and like, who is Mr. Miyagi? And like,
no, world is now sad.
Yes. Like, oh, that's right. Not everybody has watched Karate Kid 300 times.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay, so you're tracking your movements with the jawbone, standing desk.
Yep.
More of this self-improvement data collection, quantified mm-hmm. self stuff. You're tracking your sleep, right? We talked about that.
Been doing that.
Extra lean.
Been taking the bus.
You still loving it?
Yep, still loving that. It has lowered my stress. As far as getting to and from work, quite a bit. And one other silly thing in there. Since we're just, I don't know what this is. See, this is the topic of weirdness of this topic where I'm like, I don't know what this is. This is like stuff Rob's been doing where he feels less inactive.
Uh huh.
Whichever, right? I don't know. This other thing is kind of fun too. Is I'm an old man, but I bought a scooter, like a little like a. Like
oh,
not
motor
a razor
scooter.
It's a like a self-propelled, like well, not a self-propelled, it's a I propel it. Silly little two-wheel scooter thing. And actually it's a Zooter, spelled XOOTER, right?
Okay.
And it's freaking fun.
Is this like getting around town or is this like work?
So like it folds up, so I'll ride my Zooter to the bus stop and I go chung 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 and I fold it up and
sweet.
You know, and then I get off the bus and I unfold it and I just zoom along the sidewalks and.
Oh man, you know what? That sounds like amazing fun. And I have been utterly obsessed with this idea of compact. What am I trying to say? life improvement through compact technology. And I don't mean phones. I mean, like, you know things like the iGridIt device, that series. It's like a cardboard square with a bunch of rubber bands on it. So you can just slip all your, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You can slip all your stuff onto it and it slips in a small bag. And I've had my eye for the last couple of years on those little foldy bikes, those bicycles that are really small.
Dude, those fascinate me.
Me too. Oh, he sent me the scooter.
Yeah, so Zooter makes those bikes as well. Because I think that's the company name.
See, that thing is so neat.
It's a little bit boutique-y. I mean, for a scooter, it's not. It's a little more expensive than a Razor scooter.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it is.
But the thing is, I was looking for Minneapolis sidewalks, dude, yeah, are ravaged by winter. You would probably die in 6 feet if you were using something with rollerblade wheels on it, right?
Uh-huh.
And so that's what started my quest. Is I first found that Razor scooter. Gosh, I don't even know if this is interesting, but this is extra lean, right? So Razor actually makes a scooter with larger wheels, and that was the slippery slope that I stepped on, and I landed. I slipped down it and landed at Zooter. And
yeah, it's got bigger wheels. Those things could actually handle
exactly
northerner sidewalks.
Yep, that'll cross the tundra.
I bet that thing's light as heck too.
It's pretty light. It's the folding. It's got the folding thing and all that stuff. Yeah, it's a ton of fun.
So and, cute.
What's weird is like it feels easy, but all of a sudden I get into work and I'm like I'm kind of heated up a little bit. This is weird.
Yeah.
And part of it could be the exhilaration of just dodging people and zooming along the sidewalk, but I don't know.
But I bet also, yeah, you're moving more than you normally do when you're pushing yourself along on one of those things.
Yep.
Or at least you're getting your heart rate up a little bit.
I think that's it. I think some of the effort is lighter, but other aspects are more intense, right?
Yep. Or cardiovascular.
Yep. So,
that is a cute little scooter.
And it just... And as silly as it might be, I just think it's fun and it pleases me. So I just have this stupid smile on my face when I pull up to all the people waiting at the bus.
Yeah.
And I'm like, zoom, zoom, like pumping my leg, hopping over little crap on the sidewalk. And then like.
And then you get to the bus and then it collapses like George Jetson's car.
Totally.
That's so cool.
Yep. I fold it in my pocket. And then I have to walk the dog on the treadmill that almost killed me.
No, but like I've been keeping my eye on this kind of stuff, like that bike, like we were talking about, the collapsible bike. And there's a scooter that, like, it's some proof of concept thing. I don't think it's actually out in the commercial market, but there's a motor scooter that actually collapses.
Wild.
And it's like 50 pounds. It's like the size of luggage, but you don't have to park it outside. You can take it indoors, which makes me go, it's a gasoline engine. That's weird. I don't know how people would feel about you bringing that into an office.
What's this fancy magic thing?
I don't have a link. I don't remember where
folding
I was reading about.
Gasoline. Scooter.
Yeah.
For adults.
Rob's going to look it up while I explain why I'm so excited about this thing. But... I mean, the thing that stops me from pulling the plunger on getting like a motor scooter is I would only be able to use it like 6 months out of the year, because I'm not quite as far north as you, but we get pretty bad winters here too.
Oh, yeah.
In Ann Arbor. But I love this idea about technology that can collapse on itself and become a lot less intrusive and something that you can just carry with you. So I bought a purse, a little man purse thing, which I've wanted. I don't know if I told you this. See, there you go. I'm prefacing this by saying, I don't know if I've ever told you this. In ninth grade public speaking class, I remember we had to do a persuasive argument speech, and my speech was about why it was unfair that men couldn't carry purses. And remember, everybody, this is 1988. We still didn't know that men and women were the same things.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was primitive times.
It really was. There were still people who honestly believed that women were meant to just make babies and look nice. But I remember doing this persuasive argument speech about how, like, look, we got as much stuff to carry, too. And, hey, as a guy who wants to be a cartoonist someday, I've got art supplies to carry, you know? I can't just be carrying that in my pockets. And it's frustrating to me that I have to suffer this gender stereotyping, that I'm not allowed to carry a bag of materials that I need access to. And I always wanted a shoulder bag. And so I finally...
Freaking Indiana Jones carried a bag.
That's right, man. And as a kid, I was looking at that going like, I want a bag like that.
Yeah.
But the problem was, is that like even today, it's like most of these messenger bags are like pretty hefty because they're meant to carry around a 17-inch laptop and, you know, all of your different power cables and everything. Mm. I don't have that much to carry. I just have my pencil case, my wallet, my phone, my tablet, and, you know, maybe a pack of gum and then my car keys, you know. But that's enough that it's too much for pockets unless it's wintertime, then I can carry my coat pockets. But anyway, so I finally, after some research, tracked down this little tiny shoulder bag, which is about the size of an average purse, but it's like meant to be. It's like I got it at REI, so it's all sporty and everything. Yeah. But man, oh man, just life changing. And I had to have my pockets full all the time and have everything collapse into its own little pocket. It's great. But yeah, I've been, I don't know why I got on that, but I've just been obsessed with this idea of something that is small, lightweight, and makes your life easier thing, you know?
That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, if we live closer, I would certainly loan you the Zooter so you could play with that because it's a ton of fun. And the no, I get it. There is something that binds all that into a it's like a I'm going to sound like a catalog. I don't want to sound like a catalog.
Why are you being so like, why are you prefacing everything today? That's so weird. What's
I don't
going
know.
On?
Maybe I have no idea, Jersey. So the whole man purse thing and the, you know, being carrying a bag around and whatnot. I think we, often have ideas. Sometimes it's because they're being marketed to you. It's like, and it's hitting some little reactionary button and you're like, oh, wow, that sounds really cool. Maybe I need that thing. But other times, like we notice the like frictions of like, I really wanted to frickin' bring my art tablet with me and I didn't have room and now I'm missing it.
Yep.
And then you'll do it again day after day or whatever. And I think we do a lot of that stuff and then we don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And so I do notice, like, I bet you will notice dudes looking at that bag with approval.
Oh, even in Ann Arbor where people ride unicycles to work.
You'll have dudes, you know.
Yeah. I've had people do like a little bit of like, what is this?
But I'm saying like there's going to be others too. Because I get both kinds. I get the what is this when I come tootling up on my Zooter. But like...
you're calling this episode tootling up of my Zooter.
Okay. But I also get the approving twinkle from and the look in someone's eyes where they're like, that's living. You're living a little more than I am, and I want that. I'm going to do that now. You know what? You gave me an idea.
Yeah.
So and so, I'm gonna do that thing. I'm gonna get the man bag because I'm sick of leaving the stuff behind. And or I'm gonna, you know, you look so stupidly happy when you come up on that Zooter. I'm gonna try that thing. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That well, actually, I'm a big proponent of living by example. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, this is something I've only come to grips with, and perhaps it's something to do with like getting just old enough that I know I look foolish no matter what I do. So I stopped caring. Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it happened just a few years ago where like a few years ago, I never would have worn some of the things I'm wearing now because it'd be unseemly for a man my age to do such and such. And then something clicked a few years ago where I'm just like, you know what? I don't got that much time left, comparatively speaking. And, if I'm only got a few decades left, God willing, let's have some fun with it and not be terribly overly concerned about people saying, what is this? And you know, I think I told the story on a past Extra Lean where I was wearing green sneakers, I had a green jacket on, and I had a green case on my tablet. And went to a coffee shop, and a guy who I didn't know started giving me a hard time about being color coordinated. Did I tell you this?
You did. I'm just surprised again. Like, both, like, it happened, and it happened in Ann Arbor?
Remember, Ann Arbor is in Michigan.
Well, okay, so we live in northern states, Texas. Right? So it's northern states. Like, so I've noticed. So when you've gone to warmer climates, have you noticed that people do wear more colors? Maybe, or is this just me imagining?
No, actually, no. Now that I think about it, when we lived in Phoenix, yeah. I mean, you don't wear black in Phoenix, right?
Yeah. If you want to turn into a little pile of puddle on the sidewalk.
You know, there were a couple slaves to fashion. I would see some guys walking around with like long black trench coats on. I'm like, what is your problem? You know, like that wasn't me saying like, I don't approve of your style. That was me saying that cannot possibly be comfortable.
That must hurt, you know, honestly, yeah.
Right, but yeah, maybe it is a northern thing. I mean, it's just that... And I've said this a million times in other places, like you go 20 minutes outside of Ann Arbor in any direction and the cultural climate takes a very different shift. And I'm not making a value judgment. I'm just saying that it becomes more rural, right? It becomes very conservative and rural, and there are things that men do and there are things that women do. You see lots of billboards for that Cabela's place. I don't know if you saw them when you were out here. The gun store, right? The gun superstore. Yeah. It's like a Walmart theme park of things to kill animals with.
Yeah.
And their signs always feature like a guy holding a gun and smiling, like just glowing with happiness while he's holding a dead animal in his hand. Which is fine if you like eating animals, that's great. But it is odd to me to see that so big. Like, I killed it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's totally a different culture.
Right. So yeah. In that culture, if I walk in a bright green jacket with a bright green tablet case and green sneakers on, what is this guy's deal? Right.
Yeah. All the deer are going to see you.
Keep the kids away from it. All the deer are going to see me. That's probably what they're thinking. Yeah.
He's not camouflaged at all. What? They're just thinking of your safety.
But anyway, but yes, then there is the odd chance there's going to be that one guy who's like, you know, that thing that Jersey's wearing, that's like the midway point between a fanny pack and a shoulder bag. But he's got a look of satisfaction that I want a piece of.
Exactly.